I believe it's amazing. It's Mets on the Air, presented by SNY.TV. Good evening. I'm James Flippin, at James_Flippin on Twitter. And we've got a lot to get into this evening as we get that much closer to spring training. What is it? 2 weeks now. 2 weeks away from spring training. And, you know, tonight, what is it? 43, 44, 45 degrees in honor of Pedro Martinez. Starting to get a little bit warmer. We're on the other side of Groundhog Day now. And although it does seem like we're kind of doing the same thing over and over and over again with the talk of payroll and talk of Wilmer Flores and talk of Dylan G and all this other stuff, we're getting closer. Not quite Groundhog Day, because we've also got some new stuff to get into, including, is Terry Collins on the hot seat? Is Mike Francesa right to be pissed off that the Mets aren't giving him guests on 660 in New York City? And we've got some new thoughts on payroll from the New York Post, and we'll get into that as well, all while taking your calls at 347-996-3165. That's right, 347-996-3165. Jake Brown is on vacation celebrating his birthday. Luke Halpert, however, he's with us this evening. He's on the other end of the phone lines, so call us up. You'll chat with him before you chat with me at 347-996-3165. And I wanted to start off with this. Sandy Alderson was at a Q&A session with Mets season ticket holders tonight. And he answered some questions, made some statements, and I'd like to give those to you now. By the way, these all organized courtesy of MetsBlog.com. Sandy Alderson said that as far as the question of Matt Harvey and whether or not he'll start the home opener against the Nationals, yes, he will. He will not start the season opener, which is April 6th, but the home opener against those Nats, April 13th, that's when you can expect to see Matt Harvey out there on the mound. The Mets not likely to sign 19-year-old Cuban infielder Yoan Moncada, due to penalties and signings they've already made. Says they have high expectations this season. By the way, we'll talk about that. The Mets, chirping quite a bit, talking quite a bit about playoffs. And Sandy Alderson did say tonight he'll be disappointed if this team doesn't make the playoffs. The Mets looked into about 8 to 10 different options at shortstop. getting over a little bit of a cold here, but decided that all of them were basically good fielders, but weaker than Wilmer Flores at the plate, and the cost of the trades was just simply too high. He does not have intention of trading Noah Syndergaard. however, shortstop prospect Ahmed Rosario likely to start this season in low A Savannah. So there you have it. Some notes from Sandy Alderson as he gets ready for spring training, just a couple weeks. Okay, so everybody's phone calls lining up here as we get ready on a Wednesday evening to talk to you, the Mets fans. Whatever's on your Mets loving mind, you can join us at 347-996-3165. We talked a little bit about Sandy Alderson's comments, statements to season ticket holders. But, you know, people are very intrigued and in some cases not impressed with the Mets' confident talk from a lot of different sources. Now you've heard it. Jacob DeGrom, David Wright, Terry Collins, I think even Bobby Parnell, Travis d'Arnaud recently, who switched his number from 15 to 7. The Mets catcher has said that basically he told his buddy, who's getting married in October, you know, I'm planning on being busy. Bob Ojeda, former SNY broadcaster, unfortunately, really, because I always loved his work, he won't be with the Mets broadcast team this year. You know, he said that he thinks it's a little bit precarious and a little bit not so great, if you will, that the Mets are talking playoffs and, you know, kind of setting themselves up, maybe writing a check that their butt can't cash, so to speak. I don't see it that way. You know, to me, the Mets as an organization and as a franchise for too long have been not only mediocre in the results on the field, but largely mediocre in the minds, so it seems, of the players that donned their uniform. You know, too often throughout my life and my life as a Mets fan, I feel like there's an accepted second-level status for the Mets. And, you know, you could have a lot of different fingers to point and blame when it comes to this kind of thing. I think first and foremost, you got to start with the Wilpons and the way that they've blundered some things over the year, like the start of Citi Field, not having a team museum at Citi Field until the Mets fans, you know, basically demanded one. Being unwilling to cut bad contracts in the past. You know, this perception that, just get along with the get along as a member of the Mets, you'll be fine. The check's in the mail, all that good stuff. You don't get that same vibe, particular group of guys. And I think, you know, as much as Matt Harvey right now is definitely an unknown and a question mark, and you don't really know what to expect out of him this year, coming back from the Tommy John surgery and all that, his mentality and the whole Dark Knight, the hero Gotham deserves, all this stuff with the Sports Illustrated cover, you know, he's got a different level of expectation. Probably a guy who's won a lot throughout his career. You know, I'm sure in high school was a very good player, obviously pitched at a high level at North Carolina. Matt Harvey's not a guy who expects to go out there and lose. So you combine that with some of the individual successes that you've seen over the last, you know, basically year and a half for some of these prospects and these younger guys, and they're feeling confident. And, you know, listen, this is not football. Okay, I don't worry about it in the same way that, say, a Rex Ryan team that goes out there and puts a target on their back every single week. No, baseball is not like that. You're not going to get yourself psyched up. You're not going to get yourself so pumped up that I'm going to get a base hit here. Yeah, that's right. You'll probably strike out. The harder you swing, the tighter you squeeze the bat. You know, frankly, I love the team going into the season confident and talking about playoffs. And kind of throwing down the gauntlet a little, you know, raising the standard a little bit. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. 347-996-3165. You're listening to Mets on the Air. 2 weeks and counting as the countdown to spring training is well underway. 347-996-3165. By the way, you can get me on Twitter at James_Flippin. If you prefer to communicado on the Twitter. Totally fine. And of course, after the fact, if you're listening to the show on archive, that's great as well. Let's dip into the phone lines for the first time this evening. We've also got some audio that we can get to. We got Michael Kadire audio from a couple of weeks ago on SNY. Wilmer Flores, a little more recently, was featured on SNY, the much, much debated shortstop coming up for the Mets here in 2015. We'll hear from him. And, you know, maybe some stuff from Kevin Plowecki and Bobby Parnell that we didn't get into last week, if we have time. But it's about you, the callers. It's about you on the phone lines at 347-996-3165. And Steve is in Arizona. He's a friend of the program, and he's back. What's up, Steve?
Hey, James. How you doing?
Steve, are you with us?
Well, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, hold on a second, Steve. I apologize. I didn't have my volume up. That's my bad. Totally my fault. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, how you doing? Don't want to make you feel too bad, but it's 75 degrees here in Arizona today.
Well, you know what, Steve? That's okay, because it's actually 45 degrees in downtown Manhattan, and that's only 30 degrees away, and the 30 degrees of separation, we're getting that much closer to spring training, my friend. So, no, it's okay. It's all right. Okay. The Arizona, you know, jealousy is not quite as thick, but that's all right. What's going on?
Okay, I got four quick things if you let me get to them.
Okay.
The first one is Collins being on the hot seat, okay?
Yeah.
Number one is how long do you think they'll let him go if the Mets don't get off to a good start? And do you think Backman would be brought in if they replaced Collins? And do you think Backman would make a difference?
Okay, how long do I think he would have if the team was struggling? I'd say sometime around June 15th, you know, if the team was really not going to the level that they would expect them to, at least at, or, you know, certainly looking at 500, I think that would be the time for worry for Terry Collins. I don't know. You know, it depends on what you believe, that the Mets front office or Sandy Alderson, you know, don't really like Wally Backman or think he's too much of an entity at the managerial position. They want a little bit more neutral of a guy. You know, I don't think that's necessarily true, though, because they keep hiring him. to be a part of the organization. So I think that it's a little bit too logical for me to expect anybody else other than Wally Backman at this point. I think he would be the guy they turn to. And yeah, I think he would make an impact, because you look at the teams that he's been a part of as a manager, and they've largely performed pretty well. He's also had a big part in developing a lot of these prospects, guys that are now graduating to the major league level. I think it's a natural fit. So, yeah, I think that that would be the guy. What else you got?
So do I. And I also think, you know, people have said that that they would run through a brick wall for Wally back there. When you hear players talk like that, you know these guys want to play for him. So I think that would be a good move. Okay, yeah. Number two is, I know we talk about Flores at shortstop, but did you realize last year when he filled in at second base when Murphy was hurt, the Mets were turning double plays at a much higher rate? This guy turned the double play very nicely at second base, and it made a big difference. So, I mean, defense is going to be a big part. I mean, I really, you know, Flores, if you found a shortstop or signed a shortstop in the future, you could move Flores to second base, get rid of Murphy, and I think he'd be okay at second base with Flores. What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that there's been a lot of discussion of Wilmer Flores. I think that, frankly, the shortstop position, I think Mets fans are worrying way, way, way too much about it, because there really aren't that many marquee shortstops in baseball. It's kind of a position that, you know, you just kind of try to get by with, by and large. I think Wilmer Flores, he's going to leave a lot to be desired defensively. We know that. Got to accept it, because I think he's going to perform much better than league average, at least offensively with the Mets. So, yeah, I'm not as worried about the whole Wilmer Flores thing. You know, could he be a second baseman in the future? Sure, sure. But I'm a little bit excited, as a matter of fact. And, you know, Steve, I appreciate the call, buddy. Please check back with us from Arizona. Wilmer Flores, we'll hear some audio from him. You know what? Matter of fact, why not do it now? Why not listen to Wilmer Flores? You know what? Here's what they asked him. They said, hey, Wilmer, do you hear the criticism? Do you hear the fans saying that you can't play this position?
I don't really pay attention to that, because I don't want to put pressure on me. And, you know, I'm just going to go to spring training and do what I do, like every spring training, try to do my best. And, I mean, everything else will come.
All right, that's Wilmer Flores on SNY. I believe it was as part of Mets Hot Stove. And actually, you know, Steve out in Arizona was saying, you know, he's concerned about Wilmer Flores and, I guess by proxy, you know, Daniel Murphy, as far as the ability to turn that double play. Well, Flores addressed that very situation.
We know each other. We know each other now we play together. I think we did a pretty good job. And like I say, we just need to make the routine plays and just make the easy plays. And, you know, any other play that we can make, and I know we can, it's just a bonus. But I know he knows how to play second. I know how to play short. I know where to go. I know what to do. And I think we'll be fine.
All right, Wilmer Flores there talking about the relationship between he and Daniel Murphy. Of course, you know, Wilmer Flores much debated this whole offseason. A lot of discussion and a lot of disagreement between Mets fans about what he can be. Daniel Murphy, his double play partner, a guy who was, you know, somewhat a part of some trade rumors, you know, this offseason. And now it looks like, at least for the short term, Daniel Murphy will be the second baseman to combine with Flores on that double play combination. But the trade rumors, by and large, surrounding the Mets these days are linked to Dylan G. And it looks like, as certain teams like the Rockies and the Padres and the Giants become less and less interested in potentially making a trade for a starting pitcher, it looks like it's more and more likely that Dylan G might be a member of the Mets bullpen this coming year. And that's something, you know, I've talked about, as I think that's a great decision. You know, most years, most seasons, you're talking about going, you know, 10, 11, maybe even 12 guys deep in terms of how many starting pitchers you want. And as much as the Mets have starting pitching depth and, you know, their minors are chock full of power arms and all that, you know, you could very quickly find yourself in a situation where you say, you know, damn, I wish we still had Dylan G. Anthony's in Connecticut, and he's calling to talk some Mets. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. What's on your mind?
Just going back to the Dylan G thing, I think he should be traded. I don't know. I don't know what we could get for him, but I'm pretty sure we could get something better. I don't really see him as a bullpen pitcher, though, for the Mets. I don't really see him as a bullpen pitcher.
Okay, well, what makes you say that? Because, I mean, you know, pitching, you know, it's, you're still pitching, whether or not you're a bullpen guy or a starting pitcher. You're still throwing. I'm not trying to be flippant. You know, I'm not trying to be a jerk. But, you know, you're
pitching.
So what makes you say that?
It's just what I see him, like, later innings. He's not really a later innings guy. I mean, he can start a game off really good, but then, you know, as he gets tired, you know, he's not really productive in the later innings.
Well,
and I don't know, like, if you...
But doesn't that make you think that he would be more effective as a starting pitcher? You know, pitching short spurts, doesn't have to work that third time through the order, so to speak. You know, maybe
yeah, but can he give you five innings? Can he give you five innings of work?
Well, yeah. So you're saying to maybe compare him to like a Daisuke Matsuzaka or something? Can he pitch that role? Well, I mean, he's pitched. You know, he's pitched deep into games before. You know, I don't think I worry as much about the stamina. It's more like, you know, how does his repertoire translate? And to
right.
me, it's a guy with a good curveball, above average changeup, and a fastball
mm-hmm.
that, you know, doesn't play up that well out of the starting rotation because he's only 90, 91 miles per hour, easy for me to say. But, you know,
right.
if you click that up a couple and he's pumping it at 92, 93 coming out of the bullpen, well, you know, then you might have something on your hand. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you trade Dylan G and Anthony, thanks for calling, buddy. Anthony up in Connecticut. Great to hear from him. If you trade Dylan G, I just think that you regret it sooner than you benefit from it. In other words, I think, you know, Dylan G is going to be traded for some kind of prospect, some kind of younger player. And, you know, as much as I'm a minor leagues guy, get the depth going, keep the depth going with the minor leagues, I like this Mets team's chances to at least be in a wild card race, and I don't want to give games away by, you know, throwing retreads out there when the inevitable starting pitching injuries start to happen. So, you know, that's just my take on it. I think that Dylan G has more value as a member of the Mets than as a trade piece. And, you know, if he catches a situation where he's going to be pitching in the starting rotation for some kind of extended period, say mid-season, well, you know, that might up his trade value a little bit as well. Jim's in East Hartford. What's up, Jim? How you doing?
Yes, this is about the Flores situation. If you're going to build your team around starting pitching, right, don't you need a Bud Harrelson-type shortstop? Correct? You need
deep. Well, okay, wait a second. Why do you need a Bud Harrelson-type shortstop?
Because if you're building around pitching, you want a strong defense, correct?
Yeah, in theory, except for the fact that three out of the five guys in that starting rotation aren't really ground ball pitchers. So,
well, it's still a defensive position. And
Wilmer
Flores is not a good fielding player. He would be better at second base.
Yeah,
and we know the real reason that Wilmer Flores is being pushed upon us is because he makes no money.
Oh, geez.
And it's true. How can you refute that point?
Because here's the thing, Jim, okay? And Sandy Alderson talked about this tonight. Tonight he talked about it in terms of what they looked into. 8 to 10 different shortstops they looked into, and they all had their flaws. Either they could hit, but they were weak on defense, or they were good fielders, but weaker than Wilmer Flores at the plate, or the cost of the trade was simply too high. Which, you know, speculate all you want as to what that means, whether it's Starlin Castro or Troy Tulowitzki or Alexi Ramirez or whatever it may be. The cost of the trade was simply too high. Nowhere in that equation, and of course you're going to say to me, oh, well, he's not going to be honest about it. Nowhere in that equation does he say, you know, that finances are part of it, except for the fact that earlier in the conversation with those season ticket holders, he said the Mets are out on the Cuban infielder, Moncada, because of money. So he's not afraid to admit when things are about money. And they never said that the Flores thing was about money. I mean, who do you want him to sign, Jim? Drew? You really want Stephen Drew at shortstop for the Mets this year?
Oh, I would rather have a defensive shortstop here. If you're going to build your team around pitching. And here's the other thing about the Wilpon situation. You want to take his side. If the Mets are in it on July 31st.
I just ripped on the Wilpons like 15 minutes ago, saying that the whole reason that, you know, Mets fans are, you know, largely up in arms is because of the Wilpons. And the whole reason that people are surprised when the Mets start to talk confident and show a little bit of optimism in the chances of making the playoffs this year is because of the culture the Wilpons fostered. So I never once defended them, but go ahead.
Well, isn't it a coincidence if you go to the Mets page, you go to SNY's page, Wilmer Flores is on there an awful lot. And I think we know the reason why. That is the Wilpon way. And I wouldn't trust him on July 31st if they're in the race. He won't add anything to that team. If they, let's put it this way with the Mets. If they go 79 wins again, then the Alderson regime is a fraud.
Well,
if
listen,
they win 80, if they win 85 games, come up three games short, that's because Wilpon didn't upgrade the team because he didn't.
Well, listen, Jim, you say come July 31st that the Mets aren't going to upgrade that shortstop position. I say I'm impressed with your ability to look into the future. And I want the Powerball numbers, Jim. I want the Powerball numbers for tonight.
I hope I'm wrong about this, but Mr. Wilpon has been very consistent here. He should not be an owner. He has ruined the New York Mets. He has, as someone who, I do not think so. I do not. As someone who remembers the Mets since the beginning, Joan Payson would not be happy if she were around.
Jim, did you donate any money to the sell the team campaign? I think Jim just hung up on us. All right, there goes Jim. I mean, listen, Jim's not happy. What can I tell Jim? You know, Commissioner Rob Manfred, he sat down with Ken Rosenthal and they chatted about this whole payroll thing. I guess we might as well do this now. We might as well do the payroll thing again. Because we've spent so much time this offseason with this show, and that's fine. Like I said, you can always call me up with whatever's on your Mets loving mind at 347-996-3165. And I welcome your calls. I love Jim in East Hartford because he's passionate and he wants the Mets to win, just like me. But I have a different perception. I have a different take on the whole situation. Here's what Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports said to Rob Manfred in the sit-down they had. And please, don't go anywhere. We're taking your calls. It's all about you on the phone lines tonight. But this is what Rosenthal said. The Mets play in one of the biggest markets in the game. I know Commissioner Selig was close with Fred Wilpon and that you just appointed Mr. Wilpon head of your finance committee, yet the team's payroll is lower than some lower-revenue teams. How do you justify that to the fans? And Rob Manfred said, I'm a huge fan of Sandy Alderson. I think Sandy Alderson is as good a general manager today as there is in the game. You could go back 20 years and argue that he's one of the best. I think they've developed a strategy with respect to the Mets. They're going to try to grow from within and have a team that can be competitive and sustainable. So here's the key thing with me and the payroll, okay? I think that if you are realistic about what it is to spend on talent in baseball, you can, in essence, spend yourself into playoff contention. You can, in essence, buy a playoff spot or get very close with the ability to acquire talent in free agency. If all the stars align right. You know, I think back to the 2008 offseason going into 2009 when the New York Yankees signed CC Sabathia, AJ Burnett, and Mark Teixeira. Bang, all in one offseason. That's $250 million, a quarter of $1 billion spent on new acquisitions in one offseason. Here's the deal with the Mets. That ain't happening. And if it does, and if the Mets get themselves in a financial situation much like the Yankees are in now, they'll never dig out from it. It'll take another 5-10 years, like we've just gone through, to get out from, you know what? It would take a lot longer than that because the Mets are in a position right now where they're basically trying to dig out from a, you know, what was a $180 million payroll or whatever. And they stripped it down. They took the sandblaster and they took the paint down all the way down to the primer, all the way down to the wood shingling, and they're painting it again. And the key phrase to me in what new commissioner Rob Manfred said there is sustainability. You know, trying to build through free agency and win games and really, you know, what's the payroll and how's that going to bring me wins? It's a dangerous game. Because you get 2-3 years into the future and those players are 2-3 years older and 2-3 years less productive and injuries happen and all that, then you've got a ton of dead money on your situation here. And the Mets don't have the money to do that. Sorry. The Mets don't have the money to be the Red Sox or the Yankees or the Dodgers. And, you know, listen, you're listening to this. You're probably a New York resident or New Jersey or Connecticut or Long Island, whatever it may be. Your cost of living is very high, and I get that. But the Mets are still not on the same level as the Yankees. They're just not. Now, you want to talk about legitimate points when it comes to the payroll? You want to talk about something that is a game changer when you talk about this whole debate? And when I'll start to be paying very close attention, and when I'll start to admit now's the time to criticize? Well, Joel Sherman wrote about it in the New York Post. And by the way, your phone calls, 347-996-3165, we're taking them. But Joel Sherman, national columnist for New York Post, wrote about how, you know, okay, fine. You know what? Here's where the Mets are at right now. When you have Zach Wheeler and Matt Harvey, and of course, Matt Harvey is a Scott Boras client, a little bit of a ways off, but this is where you have to hope, you have to be ready for the Mets to spend money then. 2016, 2017, when Wheeler's, you know, getting out of arbitration and Jacob deGrom and all that, Juan Lagares, Travis d'Arnaud, as one of the top personnel men said, and it's quoted here in Joel Sherman's article, eventually the bill comes due. So when all these young guys and all this talent that the Mets have cultivated, when the time comes for them to be paid, if they are not, then we know we've got a situation on our hands, and we know that the whole, you know, Madoff thing is far from done, and the wool's been pulled over our eyes, certainly my eyes, and it wasn't just strategy and trying to get bad contracts out. It was legitimate financial strife. That's when we'll know. Not before. And I get it. For some Mets fans, that's not soon enough, but that's the way it is. Johnny up in Vermont, friend of the program. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, how's it going tonight? Hey,
good.
I just want to mention, I haven't heard it yet, about Bobby Ojeda not re-upping with SNY for the pregame and postgame. And I really enjoyed Bobby Ojeda, and he's come a long way in the 6 years he was with them at SNY. But I was reading, and I was about them possibly replacing him with Nelson Figueroa, and I was kind of upset about that. I mean, I think that, you know, they need to open up the wallet and get a Met favorite, or get somebody like Johnny Franco or Edgardo Alfonso, or find somebody that, you know, it's a Met favorite that, you know, who's Nelson Figueroa, you know,
for the pregame. Well, you know, and I hear you. And obviously, Bobby O, you know, a great broadcaster, so much great insight. And really, I am honestly going to miss watching him on the SNY telecast. No question about that. You know, John Franco, I think, has done some work for them in the past, if I'm not mistaken. Edgardo Alfonso, I really don't know. I mean, you also have to be realistic about whether or not these guys, you know, want to do it, or, you know, in the case of an Edgardo Alfonso, you know, how polished is he as a broadcaster? You know, Bobby O was very good as a broadcaster, in addition to knowing the game and all that. So, you know, Nelson Figueroa, yeah, he doesn't have the same, cachet or name recognition to the Mets. You know, obviously a guy who, you know, comes from Queens. And, you know, it was kind of a fun, you know, coming home story when he did pitch for the Mets and he had all those fans up there, all those family members at Shea Stadium and stuff. So, you know, it's certainly not like he's a complete stranger. But, no, I mean, I don't think there's any way around it. You know, it's going to be a step down. And that's not to try and trash Nelson Figueroa or anybody else who might get the job. But Bobby O was great. You know, Bobby O was great at it. I, you know, I, he was definitely – he made that post-game show really something great. And, you know, he talked about it, that he thanked SNY, and, you know, they just couldn't come to an agreement on the contract. And, you know, that's business. What can you do? That's what we're talking about, right? That's all business. All business, Johnny.
I totally agree. Thank you for taking my call.
What else you got? Oh, no, it's all my pleasure, John. Good to talk to you, man. Good to talk to you. There goes John up in Vermont. Chris is in Milford. What's up, Chris?
Hey, James. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. I got a little bit of a cold I'm getting over, but that's all right. You know, we're getting much closer to spring training. That much closer, baby.
That's a good sign. Hey, a couple of quick questions. First, I heard you mention at the beginning of the show about, you know, some of these financial restrictions as far as, you know, how the league allows you to spend money with regards to, like, international free agents.
Right.
And how the Mets may already be at their cap or around their cap, you know, with being able to sign a guy like Yoan Mankato. I had originally thought myself that maybe the bigger reason was because they already had Ahmed Rosario and they're both 19, so maybe they didn't feel a big need to go after him.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, the Mets have a lot of kind of long-form prospects at the middle infield spots. And, you know, certainly Ahmed Rosario is a guy you're starting to read about a little bit more. You know, I tweeted something the other day on my Twitter account at James_Flippin about how Keith Law of ESPN, talent scout who, you know, spends a lot of time looking into the minor leagues, used to be a part of the Blue Jays front office. He really likes this kid Rosario. Now, you know, famous thing about prospects is they often don't work out, and we know that. And still, Ahmed Rosario is very young, and a lot of it's about his projections and what he could become, not what he is right now, all that kind of stuff. But what Keith Law said about him is he's got tremendous bat speed, Ahmed Rosario, tremendous bat speed, and that's something that you really can't coach. It's something that you really can't hope to gain from a prospect as his profile, you know, advances a little bit. So I think that the Mets have something there potentially. And yeah, you know, that might factor into it. I mean, I think more than anything, they just kind of looked at the options and they said, is anybody really that much better than Wilmer Flores? And if they are, what's the cost? And how can we kind of, you know, relative to the cost and relative to how much better he is than someone else, how does that all work out? And, you know, that's part of that business equation we've been talking about here. So, yeah, I don't know. I think Ahmed Rosario, you know, factors into the Mets' plans, but not so much as you know, right now, or why they didn't try to get a Steven Drew, or why they, you know, balked at, you know, a Jed Lowry or trading for some of these other guys. You know, I think it's more just that they feel as though their shortstop position could not be significantly upgraded right now. And, you know, that's what you have. That's what you have going on. Chris, I appreciate the call, buddy. Always good to hear from you. 347-996-3165, 347-996-3165. Got a few phone lines open here, so I think what we'll do is take a quick pause from those phone calls, but light them up. You can join us, 347-996-3165, and we'll listen to a little more of this audio, courtesy of SNY and Mets Hot Stove. You know, Wilmer Flores, we've spoken a lot about him both tonight and this entire offseason. He did have some offensive success down the stretch last year in September. And, you know, he's been a guy who sort of hit at every level. You know, Wilmer Flores has definitely hit throughout the minor leagues. And if there's any upside with Wilmer Flores, it's his bat. It's the offensive side of the game. So they asked him, you know, do you think that success you had last year can carry over into this?
I think so, because, I mean, I'm pretty sure they know what I can do, but I got to do it, you know. I think the last month I had was pretty good.
Yep.
And, I mean, I hope I have good spring training.
Spring training, getting that much closer. And they asked Flores, you know, last year as the season went along, did you feel yourself, you know, getting more comfortable?
When I got to big leagues and my first 2 weeks playing shortstop in the big league, it was tough. But as I was playing, I got a little bit more comfortable. it's not a secret that I'm not Omar Vizquel, but you know, I'm pretty sure I can make the routine plays and play good shortstop.
There you go, Wilmer Flores. 23 years old, by the way. We forget Wilmer Flores. He's been around for so long. We've heard his name for so long now, since he was 16 when he was signed out of Venezuela. Still only 23 years old. And, you know, I think that this season could surprise a lot of people with Wilmer Flores. Some audio that we did not get to last week is Michael Kadire and talking about, you know, joining the Mets and, you know, how he feels about this upcoming season. He sat down with SNY and they asked Kadire, this is an interesting soundbite here. Let's cue this one up. They asked Michael Kadire on SNY about the injuries that he suffered in 2014 and, you know, kind of just the notion that Kadire's injury prone. And he tried his best to put that notion to rest, kind of saying, you know, these are fluky injuries you're talking about here. You know, he's basically just a hard-nosed player. Well, here, I'll let him tell you for himself.
No, not at all. And that's the thing with the injuries that I had. They were specific injuries. They weren't chronic, reoccurring. It's not like I had muscle injuries. I ended up tweaking a ligament that connects the hamstring to the calf, and then I obviously broke my shoulder, which our trainers and doctors who talked to other doctors around the Major League Baseball said they'd had never seen that in 30-plus years of being in the industry. So it was freak injury, and that ended up sidelining me for 8 weeks. I didn't really do much rehab because I wanted to get back out on the field, which ultimately led to my legs not being ready to get back out on the field and led to the other injury. So it was specific injuries. It wasn't something that reoccurred and kept me out.
All right, here's Michael Kadire, the Mets' new right fielder, and also a guy who will play some first for the Mets against tough lefties, give Lucas Duda a day off, get John Mayberry in the lineup. Here's Kadire talking about playing first.
Ever since Justin Morneau started having concussion issues in Minnesota, I was accustomed to playing over there, was able to get a handful of games in Colorado with Todd Helton needing days off and things of that nature. And then last year as well, when Justin would go on the DL, I'd play a handful of games too. So my comfort level at first base is great, but Lucas Duda is somebody that we're going to need and count on to succeed and to go out and have a very productive year as he did last year. So hopefully my days at first base are limited because of the production that he's putting out on the field.
All right, there's Kadire, and obviously giving a little bit of a pump to his teammates there. You know, seemingly he's excited. He talked about the whole process of coming to the New York Mets. Screwed that one up. He did actually talk about it, I promise. Here you go.
The last couple off seasons, he wasn't recruiting me by any means, but he would, you know, we would talk and share stories and things of that nature. And then once the season ended this year, he was the first phone call I got, saying hopefully we can work something out, hopefully the team can make a deal, and you know, that went a long way as well.
All right, so that's Michael Kadire, one of the newest members of the Mets. Good to hear him talk about the upcoming season. Some things that we didn't get into earlier in the show that I wanted to spend some time on, and thank you to my producer, Luke Halpert, for reminding me. And we talked about it actually a little bit with the playoffs talk and, you know, 90 wins and is this a realistic target for the Mets and 90 wins, all this stuff. Like I said, I like the confident talk. I don't mind it. I especially like it coming from the players as opposed to an executive like it was last year with Sandy Alderson. No problem with that. Now we're seeing some reports that maybe Terry Collins is going to be on the hot seat this year. You know, whether or not the Mets start out, you know, well, and if their record is what it maybe should be or hopes to be come May, come June, all this kind of thing. Here's Matt Cerrone on Mets blog, paraphrasing what team reporter Mike Puma wrote over the weekend in the New York Post. If the Mets are sitting 7 or 8 games below 500 come Memorial Day, Terry Collins could be a goner. And Matt's got some other reports up there from guys like Todd Hollinsworth and all this kind of thing. I think that, you know, Terry Collins is a guy who there's been times throughout the past few seasons where I've disagreed with decisions that he's made. And I also think he's been in sort of one of those weird purgatories that managers find kind of find themselves in sometimes during a rebuilding phase where you're not necessarily judging them the same way that you would judge a team that's actively competing for the playoffs. And, you know, listen, who am I to tell you that for sure the Mets will be doing that this year? Do I hope that that's the case? Do I expect that they'll be better than the 79 games that they won last year? Yeah, I do. You know, and if you're talking about a mid-80s wins team, that's a team that's in playoff contention. So I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, Terry Collins being on the hot seat. I really don't. And for him to go out there and say, you know, we expect the playoffs and all this kind of thing, he is kind of putting the pressure on him a little bit, but that's fine. You know, the whole notion of having positive expectations and, you know, trying to visualize success gets a little bit hokey maybe after a while. But it's certainly better than not discussing those things. You know, if the team was basically, you know, we want to go out there and play some decent baseball and see what happens. And, you know, that sounds a lot like the last few years. So if the culture is starting to change a little bit, if the, you know, if the situation is trying to is starting to change a little bit as far as the Mets, then, you know, that's fine. Some other news regarding the Mets. Apparently, Barry Zito is being considered as a lefty option out of the bullpen. And Jerry Krasnick says that he'll throw in the next few days for teams and scouts and all that. You know, it's interesting. Certainly interesting. You know, Barry Zito, a guy who it seems like at one point was a foregone conclusion to be a member of the Mets, whether it was a trade or free agency. Hat tip to Matt Cerrone again, by the way, mentioning Lastings Millage and Aaron Heilman, who he says are kind of inextricably linked to Barry Zito in his mind. That brought back memories. And speaking of bringing back memories, I'm speaking to you this evening. I'm broadcasting from WOR Studios, of which I am an employee, WOR, the flagship radio home of the New York Mets. And the Mets were being discussed on some other New York airwaves earlier today by none other than Mike Francesa, who says that he's not going to be getting any Mets guests during spring training, and that I guess it has, you know, it's the Mets' decision, more or less. And I wasn't listening to him. I didn't catch the radio, but there was a lot of controversy on Twitter and, you know, a lot of back and forth from some, you know, some new age media, some digital media guys and more traditional media guys. And here's the thing. The Mets are an interesting entity. Very passionate fan base, almost disproportionate to their level of success, certainly in my lifetime. A lot of diehard Mets fans out there that, you know, have not seen a whole lot of success. There's also guys like a Francesa who, you know, owns season tickets to the Mets and goes and watches their games a lot and covers the team, obviously, within his job. That, you know, but you could tell when you listen to him talk on the radio that he doesn't really like the Mets, that he doesn't really care for them and doesn't, you know, he's a Yankees fan. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's interesting to me that any Mets fan would really care whether or not any Mets guys, players, coaches, managers, whatever, if they're going to go on that radio station. I mean, who cares? And I love the guy. I love Francesa. It's not about him. It's about why would you care to hear a Yankees fan, a Mets hater, on the radio with these guests? I don't know. To me, it's much ado about nothing. We talked a little bit about Rob Manfred, how he's okay with the Mets payroll strategy. You know, the payroll thing is getting to be really, really exhausting at this point. You know, and I hear it from people on Twitter all the time, with the whole Mets apologist line and the, you know, criticism that the Mets are just basically unable to spend money specifically because of the Madoff thing, and that, you know, they're lying to their fans and all this stuff. I don't know. I just don't get it. I just don't get it, because in the past, the Mets have spent money. if there's one thing the Wilpons haven't been shy about, it's about giving money out in the early parts of free agency and offseason and all this. And again, what are we talking about? A lack of success over the course of my lifetime as a Mets fan, by and large. Let's check in on Twitter before we do odds and endies. Bring on Luke Halpert for the end of the program. Luke Halpert, our producer, also our call screener. And if you want to get in on the phones, by the way, please feel free. 347-996-3165. 347-996-3165. I see we've got one or two calls up there, so we'll try to get through that before the end of the show. But first, let's check in on Twitter. My buddy Ron on Twitter says, Flippin', you never listen. Murphy and Flores are not Trammell and Whitaker. If you want a defensive shortstop, give me the guy. If, honestly, you changed, let Flores start at shortstop if the Mets are in it. If Flores is hitting, then that's okay. You know, listen, you're right, Ron. They're not Trammell and Whitaker, and they're never going to be. But that's not the strength of the Mets team. You know, that's not what we're talking about right now. The guys up the middle, I mean, listen, Murphy could be a big part of the offense, for sure, and you hope that he is. But Wilmer Flores is like the, you know, seventh, deeper than that. I mean, I don't even know. He's like the 15th most important guy on the team this year. You wouldn't know it from the way the fans react. Stacy, my friend Stacy on Twitter, she, by the way, points out that I do have that cold. And yeah, I hope I get over it soon, Stacy. But she agrees with me. Let's give Wilmer Flores a chance. He's young, and the Mets don't really have any better options. That's kind of what I'm saying, Stacy. And I thank you. You know, who did the Mets miss out on at shortstop? I don't know. Elliot is in Lavelle, and he's up next. Hey, what's up, Elliot?
Nothing much. I'm in Roselle, New Jersey.
Oh, but, you're in Roselle. New Jersey.
Yes.
I should have known based off that 908 area code. What's up, Elliot?
There you go. Just wanted to say I'm not so down on the team coming into the season. Don't really care too much about the spending because I think most of the positions are filled with either quality or potential to be quality players. The only problem I do have is I think that they're not spending money on the smaller part. So, for example, left-handed reliever. I don't see anybody at AAA that we can depend on, and I think it'll keep our starters a little more healthy if they just had a little stronger bullpen. I get they got the power righties, but Andrew Miller, I know he's a little expensive, but I think that would have went a long way in legitimizing the offseason.
Well, you know, I think that Andrew Miller was a fun name at one time to consider, but when you saw the price that he went for, Elliot, I just kind of, you know, I have a hard time spending that much money on a relief pitcher in this day and age. I really do. I think that Miller's going to be good for the Yankees. You know, certainly with Robertson, you know, exiting, you know, you hope that Andrew Miller just kind of pieces together along with those other guys they've got there with Betances and all that, you know, the back end of their bullpen. But yeah, I don't know. I just think that the Mets right now, their bullpen's not the concern. You know what I mean? That's not what we're going into the season really worried about anymore. And that's a good thing.
I understand. I understand. But I think it would shorten the games quite a bit. And I know that the bullpen is strong from the right-handed standpoint, but the lefties is what I have an issue with because, you know, our manager likes to use our left-handed relief pretty liberally during the season. And I would hate for us to kind of run into a problem where we got one guy with, like, 90 innings in September. So we can kind of shorten the games, protect the young guys. You got Harvey on an innings count, and probably if Noah comes up, he'll be on an innings count. It would be good to just have, like, the ability to shorten the games. So,
well, you know, it's interesting. I appreciate it, Elliot. And check in again, man. Don't be a stranger. Good to hear from Elliot and Roselle. The lefty, the second lefty out of the bullpen, you know, that's one of the few things that we can watch in spring training as a legitimate position battle. You know, what's the second guy going to be from the left side? You know, is it going to be Gil Martin, that guy they got in the Rule 5 draft? They brought in Scott Rice on a minor league contract. Obviously, 2 years ago, Scott Rice pretty good from the left-handed side. I just, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't keep me up at night, I guess. I don't know. The second lefty out of the pen. I hear what you're saying. I do. And it's definitely a spot on the roster they have to fill. I just don't know that I worry about it too much. Ron is in Jacksonville. What's up, Ron?
Hey, James. How we doing? I see
good.
You mentioned my tweet about the old Trammell Whitaker combination that the Mets do not have.
I was going to say, is this my buddy Ron from Twitter? I'm glad to hear your voice, Ron.
Yeah, my brother-in-law Jordan turned me on to your podcast because he plays it in the car when we're going to work. So I said, you know, let me call this guy and see what's going on. So
well,
I'm sure
Jordan.
He'll listen tomorrow. He'll be like, yeah, no problem. I'm sure he'll be listening tomorrow. I said, that can't be him. It's me. So, but what I was saying about Flores is, I was going back and forth. Do you want him? Do you don't want him? And the thing of me is this. If he's going to hit and the Mets are above 500, nobody's going to care about his defense. You know what I mean? If they're 10 games over 500 and come July 31st and he's not the most important problem we have, you're not going to hear about it. You're only going to hear if he struggles in April.
Well, that's true.
That's what you're going to hear about.
And obviously that's something that would be, you know, really a problem for, on a number of different fronts, not the least of which, you know, the confidence for a young guy like Flores and what does that do for him? And then you're scrambling and what does that mean for the whole position of shortstop? No question about that. If he doesn't hit or if he doesn't show some signs of hitting or slugging, you know, at least, you know, maybe not an average, but, you know, driving some runs in and finding some gaps every now and then, that's going to be a problem.
That's what Wally Backman says about him. That's what Wally says. The guy Wally says he's a run producer for him. So hitting ace in that lineup is going to kill that a little bit. But you never know. If he gets a hold of a couple of ones, you don't know what he's going to do. But the other thing I want to mention is I know you got a little upset with me on Twitter about the Piazza, Gary Carter, and then the Craig Biggio. I just wanted to clarify something with you. To me, and I go back a little further because I'm a little older than you, and I know Piazza's your guy. Gary Carter's my guy. I think Gary Carter, in my opinion, I'm sure my brother-in-law will disagree with me anyway, but that's what he does. I think Carter had more of an impact on the Mets than Piazza did. That's just my opinion.
Well, you know, it's hard to disagree, Ron. It's hard to disagree because I think ultimately what you get down to is brass tacks and who's got the ring on their finger. You know, may he rest in peace, Gary Carter. And, you know, my father talks about it all the time. When they went out there and they traded for Gary Carter, that was a game changer. You know, that was the final piece, so to speak. Mike Piazza wasn't the final piece. He was the only piece. And I'll correct you on one thing, Ron. As much as I love Mike Piazza, I'm actually a Todd Hundley guy, believe it or not. That's my guy.
And then they tried to put him in the outfield and he almost killed himself, so.
Yeah, that was ugly. That was ugly.
Yeah,
that was not as ugly
as Keith Miller in center field, but close.
Yeah, well, that I don't have as vivid a memory of that one, but
I know.
Ron,
be well, James. I'll talk to you.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Have a good one.
All right.
That's Ron down in Jacksonville, and it's always great to hear from him. For the first time now on the phones, that's a Twitter buddy of mine, and you can get involved with me on Twitter at James_Flippin, much like Elwood has, however, on Facebook. My Facebook buddy Elwood. Hopefully over Deflategate at this point. I can only trust that you've gotten over all that, Elwood.
Let's keep it Mets, because, you know.
All right, that's fine.
Let's not your buddies with the Colts fan. Don't ever go to the P word. Hey, what a call about. What I called about was the pool ponds are starting to irritate me. They like to fix the swimming pool by adding more water. But here's the thing, you got to learn when you need to throw money at it, and you need to learn when you need to draft well and pick people well, and it's not always about the money. And it's like, they can't get it. You know, now all of a sudden, when they need to pick well, choose well, weigh some options, find some up-and-comers, actually take advantage of that AAA system you use, now they want to start throwing money. Where a few years back, I think money would have fixed it. I mean, how did the Diamondbacks win a World Series in 4 years after being created? Throwing money at it. I mean, it works, but not every time. So it's like, my head hurts sometimes.
Elwood, I think that this is what I was trying to say earlier, and I don't think you're absolutely wrong. I don't think you're absolutely wrong on this one. When you throw a lot of money into a baseball team and you're trying to spend big in free agency, it does most of the time give you a quick peak and then a valley when it comes to success, because it's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the government or something. You know, you only have so many dollars in the coffers that you can spend. And then at some point it's funny money. and they play by a whole different set of rules that we won't get into tonight. But the money runs out after a while. And, you know, I think the Mets are trying to avoid that sort of thing, picking and choosing with free agency. And then again, the bulk, the lifeblood coming from the lower levels. And in terms of sustainability and hopefully watching a, you know, largely competitive Mets team for the next 10, 15, whatever. Excuse me. I'll sign up for that. All right. Time for odds and endies. We've reached the end of our program for this week. And very excited to get into it now with Luke Halpert, my producer. Young Luke has gathered some facts. He's gathered some stories, some things that we have not yet spoken about this evening. And I welcome him now. How's it going, Luke? Luke, are you there? All right. Well, I'm having a little bit of difficulty hearing Luke right now. Luke, is
can
your
you
microphone
hear me now?
Muted? Ah, yes. Yes. Now I can. It's like the old Verizon commercials from 10 years ago.
I accidentally muted my microphone.
See, but see, that's the thing. That's why when you have it, when you have an engineer, when an engineer is also hosting the show, I can troubleshoot just in real time like that. It's amazing.
Exactly. There's no one to watch the watchdog.
All right, Luke, what do you got for us this evening, my friend?
Here we go. Odds and endies. Well, first off, starting here, sort of, I think we can move this into the Mets. We have White Sox recently cut Dayan Vecino. He had 21 home runs last year, going to be entering his age 26 season. I know we just signed John Mayberry, but do you bring Vecino in on a minor league deal, give him a chance to potentially get that right-handed outfield spot off the bench?
Well, you know, Vecino is a guy that has to intrigue you. You know, like you said, 26 years old. He's already got 60 home runs to his name on his career. Signed out of Cuba for a pretty big bonus, got $10 million. You know, has shown those flashes of power, no question about it. The, you know, sub 300 on base percentage, obviously that leaves a lot to be desired. Also, I think the biggest problem and why I'm going to say no to your question, Luke, is that he is a brutal defender. And in the National League, I just don't think we have room in the roster for a guy that can't play, you know, even a decent corner outfield position. Now, listen, if the Mets bring him in and it's on a, like you said, minor league deal or for not a lot of money, I'm not going to worry about it at all. I'm also going to be kind of intrigued. But I just don't think he's really a fit for this roster right now. I just don't see it. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Obviously, he's a name that gets bandied about because he's got those 60 home runs and he's only 26 years old.
Okay, so now taking that here, we're going to leave Metropolis, talk about a guy who's kind of held up the pitching market, affected the Mets in the sense that we haven't been able to trade Dylan G, is James Shields, still unsigned. The word is he should be signed by the end of this week, but you're not really hearing a lot of teams saying they're interested in him. So my question to you is, if you're James Shields, do you go to a team you don't really want to go to on a contract that on a multi-year deal that you're not in love with, or do you return to a team like Kansas City, pick that one-year deal, and do it all over again?
Very nice. Leaving Metropolis here on Mets on the Air. We like to get into this. We talk about some other teams. Yeah, James Shields apparently is a guy who prefers to pitch out on the West Coast. He's from San Diego, where he maintains a residence there. You know, some people have said maybe that's a possibility then for the San Diego Padres. Who knows how much money they have left? I don't know. But I think that James Shields, you know, at this point has to consider one of those one-year deals. However, I think it's even more likely that a guy like Shields would opt for the multi-years and the opportunity to just get that guaranteed money, man. Because at this point, you know, what's the market for a guy like James Shields? You know, that's the tough thing to figure out right now. And it's kind of crazy because I get it. He's had a lot of success. Big game James. You know, certainly a guy that in past years in a different era would have been signed already, would have been a team member prior to New Year's. But it's a changing landscape. And, you know, it's tough now to be a veteran right-handed pitcher who doesn't necessarily have dominant stuff like Max Scherzer. You know, who knows what the contract is for that guy? Who knows what the value is for a Dylan G? You know, that's what the Mets are trying to figure out. So it is tough. Hey, listen, to get more Mets audio content, subscribe to SNY.TV Mets Podcast. That's a channel in iTunes, and search SNY.TV Mets. You'll have access to Mostly Mets, hosted by Toby Hyde and Robert Brender. In addition, the Mets, Matt Cerrone's Mets Blog Q&A cast. You're listening to Mets on the Air, presented by Land Rover. For Luke Halpert, I'm James Flippin. This has been presented by SNY.TV. We appreciate you joining us. Have a good night, everybody.